Good morning, and thank you for listening to the radio program, which is brought to you by Christians who meet at Main Street Church of Christ. We're located in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, at 240 West Main Street, right in front of what used to be the old library, and we have yet to see what it will be. Someone will probably buy it here, coming up pretty quickly. We'd love to have you visit us at any one of our worship services. On Sunday mornings, we meet at 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study that usually goes until about 10:45. We have a 15-minute break, and we begin worship at 11. Then Sunday evenings, we meet back at 6 p.m., and we have a worship service. And the first Sunday of each month, we have a song night. Wednesday evenings, we meet at 7 p.m., and we have a Bible study, and you're welcome to come to that as well. You can also check us out online at www.mtsterlingchurch.com, or you can email us at mtsterlingchurch@icloud.com. You can also give me a phone call, area code 859-432-0369. That rings right to my pocket, and I would love to hear from you for really any reason. Let me know if you have any questions about the Bible, if you want to be on the radio program or have anything you want to talk about or to be talked about on the radio program. Just give me a call, 859-432-0369. I'm Tom, and this morning I'd like you to think about two questions concerning your personal relationship with God, I think is a good way to put it. So God, many people, is someone that many people believe we have a personal relationship with. It's one of the most commonly used phrases, I think, these days when it comes to faith and religion. People talk about a personal relationship with their Savior, a personal relationship with God. And a lot of times as we talk about that, we neglect to think about one very common sense thing. You know, let's take, for example, a marriage. Most people would consider their marriage to be a very personal and intimate relationship. Most people get very defensive, very upset, if someone else tries to come between them and their spouse, if someone else attacks their marriage, maybe even if their spouse just involves someone else, maybe, you know, not even in an adulterous way, but just tell somebody else about a fight or an argument or a disagreement or something like that. It makes most people kind of irritated or angry, and most people tend to get defensive and even reject any kind of interjection of other people in that kind of a personal relationship. So I'd say that that's a relationship that's much like what many people believe they have with Christ. You know, with children, it's a pretty personal relationship. Can't tell you how many times I've seen a child acting up in a store, and someone says to the parent, hey, you need to, you know, take care of your kid, and that parent gets belligerent and angry about it. Hey, you can't tell me how to raise my kid. You can't tell me what to do with my kid. Have you guys ever seen that kind of thing happen? And we get defensive about these personal relationships. And when we get defensive, we don't always think about whether or not we're conducting the relationship in a right way or a wrong way. You know, for example, in a marriage, if our spouse goes to someone else at work and is telling them about a fight because they just can't get it off their mind, instead of getting defensive, shouldn't we kind of communicate with our spouse? I mean, is it possible that the reason that they're talking to someone at work or at school or, you know, maybe one of their friends or a parent or something, is it possible that the reason they're doing that because they feel like we're not listening anyway? If they talk to us, it'll just fall on deaf ears or we'll just argue about it? Maybe we need to go home ourselves and communicate with our spouse. Maybe we need to start that by saying, hey, I don't really like it when you tell other people about our drama. Let's keep that between us. Let's solve it together. Maybe that will help open up that door. Or is it possible that when someone else gives us advice in parenting, no matter what the case is, that we're not really communicating parenting to our children well in the first place? I mean, honestly, that's what discipline and encouragement come down to. They come down to a communication to our children from parents, about what is right and what is wrong. Training, you know, admonishing, nourishing, nurturing children. It's all about communicating something to them. Even down to our examples, we communicate to them what is right and what is wrong. And is it possible that in those situations where we get defensive about that personal relationship with our child, that what we really need to do is step back and think, do I need to communicate to my child? No, you can't just grab a box of cereal, open it up, and stomp on it in the aisle. I've seen that. I've seen that happen. Now, when we talk about our personal relationship with God, if someone comes to us and they question it, or maybe not even question it, but they talk about something or ask us a question or maybe tell us about one of their own experiences. And it makes us feel like our relationship with God might not be as valued. Most often, we get defensive. Most people start immediately, the second that this relationship is kind of questioned, most people start to kind of get on the defensive. Well, wait a minute, you don't know. I had this experience. I saw this. I felt this. God did this, you know, for me. Even sometimes when faced with Scripture, when faced with the Bible, sometimes people will say, look, sure, that's in there, and that is what's in the Bible. You know, I see that verse right there, but I just don't think that God could do that. I just don't think that God really means it that way. You know, I think that God means for me to understand these things differently because of my personal relationship. When we get like that, when we're faced with this defensive feeling about our personal relationship with God, is it possible that the problem is the same as it is in those other personal relationships? Is it possible that instead of defending what we are doing, we need to communicate more with Him? That we need to listen more to Him? That we need to conform our lives more to what He says we need to do, and less to what we want Him to say we need to do? Communicating with God is sometimes a little bit more difficult than communicating with your spouse and with your children. There's the avenue of prayer. That's definitely one means of communication with God. We'll have to talk about that in another radio program. But the way that God communicates back is what makes it difficult. If you speak to your spouse, they can answer you in the moment. If you discipline your child, you can see their reaction. If you encourage or motivate either these parties or any other intimate relationship that you have, you know, you can see immediate effect. Even if it's not the one you want, you can see it, you can feel it, you can hear it. You know, it's right there in front of you. But with God, it doesn't seem like He comes down from the clouds and talks to us anymore or inspires us in visions and dreams. So then how do we communicate to Him? These are the two questions I'd like us to consider this morning about communication with God. One is, how often do I study my Bible? And the other is, how do I study my Bible? I bring this up, both of these questions, in one thing because they are actually separate questions. How often do I study my Bible, and how do I study my Bible? They're separate questions in this sense because let's say you, for example, were to speak with your wife once a week. Would you expect your marriage to improve, or do you expect your marriage to decline? Let's say that you were to encourage, motivate, or discipline your children 3 times a week. Would you expect that to be enough? I mean, would you expect your child to grow up and be balanced if they only got encouragement or motivation from their parent 3 times a week, if they only got discipline 3 times a week? I don't think we would. I think any reasonable person would look at those relationships and say, no, if we want those to be successful, we need to be in constant communication with these people and with whom we have these relationships. We need to constantly be communicating to them and listening back to what they have to say to us. The way we listen back to God is we study the Bible more than just reading it. Reading it is good. Reading it, in fact, is fantastic. But more than just reading it, we apply real effort to figuring out what it means, what it says. You know, a lot of times I think the objection to this is, well, Tom, that's the preacher's job. As a preacher, I've heard that from time to time. And yes, the preacher's job, the teacher's job, even the elders and deacons is to teach. But I want you to examine something that Paul said to Timothy. This is part of why we kind of have been studying through the Timothys. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in all of the instructions that we saw Paul give Timothy, this is one of the main points of his letters to him. You then, my child, verse 1 says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, Paul did not just tell Timothy, what you've heard from me, you teach to everybody and let them apply to their own lives. He said, you teach to people who can teach it to other people. You know, if we rely on our preachers to do the communicating between us and God, not only will imperfect men be imperfect vessels for such a thing, but we will only communicate with him 3 times a week, and that's if we attend a place that worships 3 times a week. You know, I'm using Main Street here as a template. You know, we meet 3 times a week. That would be the most you could communicate with God. And we already have admitted that in our personal relationships, that would not be enough for those relationships to succeed. But for some reason, when it comes to our personal relationship with God, we expect that those 3 meetings a week, those 3 lessons that we might hear a week, and the good feelings we have are enough to get us by. And the simple truth is, they are not. They are not enough to get us by. And one of the incredible things that you will discover if you make time every single day to study God's word is that your relationship with him will grow from his word and not the other way around. If you encounter someone who brings up a question that makes you insecure about your relationship with God, you won't just say, oh, you know, it's, you don't know me. This is my experience. You won't get defensive. But you will be able to examine his word and see if what they are saying is true or untrue. That's a whole different level of argumentation. Not arguing, on my personal relationships or things that you can't verify in other people, but arguing from the word of God, fact, as factually as it can be. Truth. It's difficult to argue with the truth. So the second question then was not just how often do I study, but how do I study? We live in a fantastic, very blessed time in which we have at our fingertips, sometimes even in our pockets, cell phones, computers that can access, I mean, if I had to just guess, billions of people's thoughts about the Bible. You know, one of the most common things that you see, even in a preacher's office, are bookshelves that are lined with commentaries and devotionals and books that are written on topics that are sometimes more difficult. I know especially the ones I have are ones that I really struggle with understanding, and so I've kind of had to reach and see and think, you know, what if people before me thought about this? What if people studied out this? Maybe they can point me in the right direction to clear this question up in my mind. And while those resources are good references, they're good for us to maybe just open our mind enough to get back to God's word to understand what he means. So how do I study my Bible? I love the thing I can set up on my phone through an app. It's just the Bible app. There's a few of them. I don't remember which particular company does this one. I haven't actually paid attention to that. But at any rate, I have a Bible app on my phone, and I can set it up every day to send me a passage from the Bible through a text, as well as a Bible devotion through a text. So I get these two things every day from my phone. And that's really nice. But that's not adequate for Bible study. For one, especially when it comes to devotion, because what you're actually studying as you study a devotional book or a commentary are not the word of God, the words of God, but you're studying the words of someone else who has studied the words of God. You're studying the words of a person, which is the second problem really with relying on preachers and teachers and elders for your communication with God, is now you are not only communicating with God in a limited way, and purposefully, I might add, limiting your own communication with God, but you're not actually even communicating with God. You're communicating with what Tom has studied about God, with what your local preacher has studied about God, with what the writer of this commentary or the writer of this devotion has studied about God. And I can honestly say that I know this to be true. If everyone studied the Bible the false doctrines that are rampaging through the world, that are so prevalent, would not have gotten nearly as far as they have. But the reason that false doctrine gets propagated and promoted is because someone teaches it, and people who respect what that person teaches, they continue to teach it. And instead of them being Timothy, who is teaching people the words of inspired men like Paul that came straight from God, they're teaching people the words of uninspired men who have thought about the words of the inspired men and then applied them in some way. I once heard somebody use this example. I'm not much of a carpenter myself. I can glue wood together, I can screw it together, and that's about all I can do. But he used this example. He said, let's say that you were going to build a chair. So you made measurements, you mapped it all out, you maybe mocked it up, and then you cut all the pieces for your chair. You put your chair together, and it fit together perfectly. Everything was great about it, and you decided, you know what? This is the perfect chair. This chair is the standard by which all other chairs that I ever make are going to be measured. Every chair that I ever make should match this chair exactly. He said, a good carpenter, every time that he makes another chair, will go back to the standard, will take his measurements from the standard, and every time that he makes a chair, if he does it well, will have a chair that exactly matches the standard. It's rare, this person told me, using this example, to find a carpenter who makes a chair and then expects every chair after to be perfect, as defined by his standard. But he makes that one perfect chair, then he makes the second chair, and then the third chair he compares to the second, and the fourth chair he compares to the third, and the fifth chair he compares to the fourth, on and on and on. If you see that happening, what you'll see progressively as he continues comparing chairs to other chairs that are not the standard, is progressively they'll change. They'll become different. You know, one will wobble on down the line. One may not have as many supports in the back, or the lumbar support that he intended. So in order to get that perfect chair repeated, one must always go back to the standard. This is the same thing with studying the Bible. You know, you can write a book about what's in the Bible. You can write a book about many things, and that's not a bad thing to do. It's also not bad to reference those books. But if you want to communicate with God, we need to go back to His Word. Not the thoughts that other people have about His Word, and whether they're good or bad, back to His Word. And that's what I'd like to invite you to do this morning. And you know, as always, I'd like to encourage you to contact me or contact someone at Main Street, or really, primarily, your Bible. Contact God. If you have any questions or if you need any help, would you pray with me? Most holy God, thank you for this day and this opportunity that we have to study your word. Thank you for all of our blessings. Help us to glorify you and please you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price.
all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold.